In God's providence, there were numerous people that came into Paul's life to serve him, support him, encourage him, minister on his behalf. And as you know by now, we are looking at a number of those cherished friendships, are we not? It's all part of God's providence in his life. And given the wonderful gift that we have before us, and given Brother Ron's question to me this past week, I thought it would be well-serving to all of us to think just for a moment about the importance of providence in all of our lives. You may recall that back in 2013, we took advantage of the 450th anniversary to work our way through the Heidelberg Catechism, published in 1563. This is an amazing catechism that has blessed so many people throughout the hundreds of years. And there is a wonderful teaching on providence that I wanted to remind you about. It's found on Lord's Day 10. Now, you do remember that the lessons in the catechism are divided into 52 Lord's Days, where the preachers back in the day would siphon off one section of the catechism per Sunday and work their way through all 52 lessons. The catechism covers the Apostles' Creed. It covers the Lord's Prayer. It covers the Ten Commandments. And it covers the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. In the context of the Apostles' Creed, where we affirm that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the catechism unfolds for us what that means in light of providence. So here is Lord's Day 10, question 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? Answer: the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. That's the providence of God. We do not believe in chance. We don't believe in fate. We don't believe in luck. We don't believe that there are lucky or unlucky people in this world. We believe in God's providence. Now, if we believe that, the next question is just as important as the one I just read. Question 28. If so, then how does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Answer: we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing in creation will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in God's hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. Amen. So reads the catechism, based on so many, many important scriptures, and so many of those scriptures have been penned by the Apostle Paul. Nobody believed in providence more firmly than Paul, especially when he was living in dark, troubling days, particularly when he found himself imprisoned. You do know that Paul spent just about half of his converted life, in some way, form, or another, in prison for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're looking at one of the letters that Paul writes during his first Roman imprisonment. That would be the book of Colossians. So look with me, please, at your summary notes for this morning's message. We are in the cherished friendships of Paul. We are looking into the ministry of Tychicus and Onesimus in the life of the Apostle Paul. You say, who? Whom? Why, this would be Tychicus and Onesimus. They are faithful envoys and beloved brothers in the Lord. And we're going to read all about them in Colossians chapter 4. Our text is verses 7 through 9, but we're going to look at a lot of what Paul has to say in Colossians chapter 4. We're at the end of his letter. Paul is commending to the Colossians, so many of his friends, faithful servants of the Lord, fellow bond slaves of the Lord Jesus. Wait till you see these names. All cherished friends of the Apostle Paul. How do we find Galatians? Why, we remember Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's the General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Oh, here it is. Colossians in your Pew Bible found on page 1167. I want to read for you Colossians chapter 4. These are all Paul's final greetings to the saints at Colossae. Oh, by the way, Paul has never met this household of faith, never met them, and yet he's heard all about them, and they have heard about him through Epaphras, one of the men we looked at, was it last week? I believe it was. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. Onesimus is from the town of Colossae and was a part of life there. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Verse 10, my fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all of the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. My goodness, all of these friends of Paul, we call them for the most part the no-names of Scripture, with the exception of Apollos and Barnabas and Luke. They are virtually unknown by so many in the church today. But Paul could never, ever have accomplished the things that he did without the help of so many of these fellow servants, and they are worthy of our study today. So this morning we are looking at the ministry of Tychicus and Onesimus, faithful envoys and beloved brothers in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the joy and the privilege that is ours to turn to the Word of God, and we would ask that the Spirit of the living God might encourage us and bless us and move our hearts past our own woes and worries to the glorious vision that's here in these pages and verses this day. Yes. We commit this time to you and pray these things in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is no question that Paul was courageous and willing to endure whatever suffering came his way, but he was also susceptible to discouragement and disillusionment like the rest of us. That's why he cherished the love and support of his friends, whom he repeatedly calls his beloved brothers and faithful servants and fellow bondslaves in the Lord. These were the people who comforted him. They spoke truth to his soul. They reminded him of God's faithfulness and goodness. They encouraged him to press on. They didn't necessarily hold an ecclesiastical office, nor did they generate any money to subsidize his ministry. Most of them wouldn't be in anyone's spiritual hall of fame, and yet these are the people whom Paul praises. With the exception of the more prominent personalities like Apollos and Barnabas and Luke, most Christians have never heard of these men. Yet it's hard to imagine how Paul could have accomplished all that he did without their love, without their support, without their assistance. Over the past 2 weeks, we have looked closely at how two of these lesser lights had ministered to Paul. That would have been Epaphroditus 2 weeks ago in Philippians chapter 2, and Epaphras last week in Colossians 1 and 4. They were different men, but they shared the same character and the same virtue, and thus the same commitment to serve and support Paul at great personal sacrifice. For this, they were highly commended to their respective churches and praised in the loftiest terms by the Apostle Paul. Isn't that amazing? Paul never stopped thanking God for personalities that were in his life. He never stopped offering them praise. He never stopped acknowledging them for all of the grace and goodness that they ministered to him, for without them, he knew he couldn't do much of the things that he had done. There is a lesson here. There is a lesson here. If we have people around us who encourage us and who minister to us and who give us a wonderful joy in the Lord, let them know about that. Tell them thank you. Tell them how encouraged you are by their ministry in your life. And hopefully, as you seek to do the same to them, they will reaffirm that to you as well. That's what we're learning here about all of these cherished friendships of the Apostle Paul. Well, that would have been Epaphroditus, and that would have been Epaphras. Well, the same is true for the two men whose names are mentioned in the verses before us today. Like Epaphroditus and Epaphras, they're not exactly familiar household names, but Tychicus and Onesimus were both cherished friends of Paul, and both were highly commended by him because of their faithful service to him. So look once again at what Paul writes to the Colossians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, our text for today. As to all of my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondslave in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. He's from Colossae. They will inform you of the whole situation here. Colossians 4, 7 through 9. Where is Paul when he wrote those words? Well, he's some 1,200 miles away from Colossae. He's in his first Roman imprisonment in Rome, and he's writing to friends that he has never yet met. And this is what he is saying in verses 7 through 9 of chapter 4. Tychicus is the first man that Paul commends to them. Tychicus first appears in Scripture during the latter part of Paul's third missionary journey. As we learn from Acts 20 and verse 4, he was a native of the Roman province of Asia and among Paul's fellow travelers on his last journey to Jerusalem. We also know that those fellow travelers were delegates from their respective Gentile churches carrying contributions for the needy saints in Jerusalem. We know that by looking at Acts chapter 24 and verse 17, and then Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, and then 1 Corinthians 16, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. We are piecing portions of Scripture together in order to get the background of this man named Tychicus, who's one of seven delegates that's going to bring money from Gentile churches all the way to the suffering saints in Jerusalem. So the fact that Tychicus was selected as one of these stewards reveals how trustworthy he was. That's a lot of money to carry for 1,200 miles. You don't pick just anybody to be a steward of those funds. Tychicus was a proven trustworthy saint. And the close contact that he would have had with Paul on this journey to Jerusalem would have also forged strong and lasting ties with the apostle. Can you imagine traveling with none other than the apostle Paul for 1,200 miles? Talking with Paul, listening to Paul, praying with Paul. This is a man who got to know the apostle rather well, I would say. Next page, please. 4 years later. 4 years later, Tychicus was one of Paul's faithful companions during his first Roman imprisonment. Read all about it in the book of Acts, chapter 28, 16 through 31, which is when Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians. That's chapter 4 and verse 3 and verse 18. Paul says in Colossians 4 that he is in chains. Well, where? In his first Roman imprisonment, Acts chapter 28, 4 years after the saints carried that money to the suffering poor saints in Jerusalem. In God's providence, isn't that something? In providence, Tychicus becomes Paul's personal representative and probably the one who carried the letter to the Colossians, that's our text today, and to the Ephesians, that's chapter 6, 21 and 22. Stay with me for the Q&A. We're going to read all about that. At the same time, he was accompanied by Onesimus, whom Paul was returning to Philemon, where the Colossians were meeting in his house church. Read all about it in Philemon, verses 1 and 2. Now get this. Philemon is a rather wealthy saint. He has a rather large home. The church which Epaphras has founded through his evangelizing and discipling ministry is gathering in the home of Philemon. It's a house church. In Philemon's house, he had a Roman slave named Onesimus. Onesimus took off. He ran away somehow all the way to Rome, found Paul. When he found Paul, he found Christ. And when Paul led him to Christ, Onesimus begins to serve and minister to Paul. And in God's providence, Tychicus is bringing the letter back to the church at Colossae. And Paul says, oh, by the way, Tychicus, I want you to return Onesimus back to Philemon when you get to the church at Colossae. Oh, and by the way, I have a letter on the behalf of Onesimus to Philemon. So this is a man, Tychicus, who is an envoy of the letter to the Colossians and the letter to the Ephesians, a few miles down the road, and to the letter to the man hosting the church of Colossae in the man's own home. That would be the letter to Philemon. This is an amazing story in the life of Paul. Cannot wait to take you into the next level where we will be looking for a number of weeks at Paul's letter to Philemon and what he has to say about Onesimus. It is absolutely amazing, and I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. Oh, I'm excited. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. So, as we turn to today's text, yep, we're in Colossians chapter 4, our goal is to note the significance of Paul's relationship to both Tychicus and Onesimus, and their relationships to him will also become evident. Look, this is all about relationships. It's all about mutual support. It's all about mutual encouragement. It's all about walking together. It's all about encouraging and lifting up one another. And we're going to see some wonderful things here about the relationship of Tychicus and Onesimus to Paul and their relationships to him. So first, what we see is that Paul informs the Colossians of his purpose in sending Tychicus to them. That's verse 8a. As to all my affairs, as to all of my affairs, Tychicus will bring you information. That actually should be verse 7a. That's where we're starting, verse 7a. As to all of my affairs, Tychicus will bring you information. This reminds the church that while urgent doctrinal matters had been addressed in Paul's letter, his personal matters would be conveyed to them through his personal representative. Let's also keep in mind that although Paul never visited these saints, we know that from chapter 2 and verse 1, they still would be eager to learn about his circumstances in Rome. So, since he was sending such a trustworthy messenger, Paul didn't think it was necessary to write about his personal affairs. Why not? He knew that his beloved friend wouldn't misrepresent or undermine him in any way. Do you have friends like this in your life? Do you know people like this in your life? You can trust them. No matter what they say about you, they will be truthful. They will be honest. They will never do anything to misrepresent you. They will never do anything to present any innuendos that will try to put you in a bad light. They will never speak ill of you. They will always speak honestly about you. Paul is confident that he doesn't have to write nothing about his personal affairs in this letter because he has a personal representative that's going to be verbally communicating to the church everything that he wants them to know about him. The doctrinal stuff is going to be in the letter to the Colossians. That's Colossians chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. But the personal stuff is going to be communicated by a good friend. If you have somebody like this in your life, don't let them go. They are hard to find. Amen. Trustworthy, honest people who will never say anything about you behind your back that they wouldn't say to you and your face, those people are hard to find. If you find somebody like them, don't let them go. And if you just happen to be someone like Tychicus on behalf of somebody else, I hope they won't let you go, because people like this are very hard to find. Very hard to find. So that's the first thing we're learning about the Apostle Paul. He has people in his life that he can trust, that he loves, and that he knows love him. Whatever you need to know about me, you're going to hear it from my dear friend Tychicus. No need for me to write anything else. The information I want you to know, he'll faithfully communicate it to you. Secondly, the commendation Paul gives to Tychicus reveals that he held him in the highest personal esteem. Well, no surprise here. He talks about him as our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondslave in the Lord. That's verse 7b. Because he was a beloved brother, he was willing to stay with Paul, even though his situation was a difficult one. That's chapter 4 and verse 3. Where was Paul? Well, he wasn't in some sauna. He wasn't in a hot tub. He was in chains in his first Roman imprisonment. A beloved brother sticks with you through thick and thin. I think of how encouraging this must have been for Paul, especially when everything seemed to be going against him. Tychicus was also a faithful servant. The word servant is diakonos. Technically means deacon, but that's not how Paul is using it here. He simply means that Tychicus was his faithful assistant. He ministered to Paul, and he also ministered for Paul, carrying out the ministries Paul had assigned to him. He is a faithful minister or faithful servant, diakonos. By referring to him as a fellow bond slave in the Lord, Paul also looked at him as his valued colleague in ministry. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Like the apostle, he had submitted his will to the will of the Lord Jesus to do his bidding. That's what a bond slave is. Paul had done that, submitted his will to the will and sovereignty of the Lord, as did Tychicus. That's what made them fellow bond slaves. Oh, by the way, Tychicus was not an apostle. You don't have to be an apostle next to the apostle Paul to be a fellow bond slave. You just have the heart. You don't need the title. You just have to have the same heart that Paul had. And this is so encouraging to the Apostle Paul. So encouraging. It didn't matter to him what your title was. Trust me on that. Did not matter what your title was. What mattered to Paul was your heart. This is a man who was a fellow bond slave, beloved brother, faithful diakonos, faithful servant. What a joy to know people like this. Third, Paul amplifies his purpose in sending Tychicus to Colossae. He writes, "For I have sent him to you, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts." Besides informing them about his news from Rome, Paul also wanted Tychicus to minister to them. Among other things, they needed to be encouraged to stand firm against the heretical teaching that was worming its way into the church fellowship. That's what's in Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 23. It's all about the very subtle Colossian heresy that was undermining the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very subtle. And Paul is sending Tychicus, among other things, to encourage the saints at Colossae to stand firm against the latest tide of false teaching that is flowing through the church. All of our churches today need more people like Tychicus. Encouragement is something that everyone can do. And encouragement is something everyone must have. Oh, I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that encouragement is something that everyone can do, including you and me. And I hope you also believe that encouragement is something that everyone must have. I hope that's one of the reasons you're here today at Bethel Christian Fellowship. You're not only here to hear the preaching of the word and to enjoy the breaking of the bread and to lift up the prayers to our most holy and sovereign God. You are here to encourage one another. That's why we gather on the Lord's Day. We never ask, "What's in it for me?" We always ask, "What can I do for others?" Isn't that amazing? That's the vantage point and the mentality of the Apostle Paul. "I have sent him to you, not only that you may know about our circumstances, but that he may encourage your hearts." Fourth, Paul has also sent along Onesimus, another faithful and beloved brother. Now we're back in verse 9a. That might not be significant to most people if that wasn't the same Onesimus, if it wasn't the same Onesimus that Paul mentioned to in his letter to Philemon. Onesimus. Well, that would mean nothing to most people today if, in fact, this weren't the same Onesimus that we're going to be reading about in Paul's letter to Philemon. This would be Onesimus, the Roman slave, who himself was from Colossae. Here was a man who had no possessions, no rights, and no inheritance under Roman law. He was of no regard to most of the people of his day, and yet Paul loves him and refers to him as his brother. It didn't matter to Paul if this man is a Roman slave or not. He's a fellow believer in Christ. He's a fellow servant of Christ. He has ministered to the Apostle Paul. Paul has been blessed by him, and now it's time to send him back to his hometown, where he has fled from Philemon, and Tychicus is going to be the one to represent Paul on Onesimus's behalf and present him to Philemon. This is an amazing story. Next page, please. In his letter to Philemon, Paul also describes him as his spiritual son. That's Philemon verse 10. Evidently, When Onesimus ran away from Philemon, he traveled to Rome, where he met Paul and came to saving faith. Then he faithfully ministered to Paul during his imprisonment. We'll read about that in Philemon, verses 11, 12, and 13. Paul now is sending him back home with the personal guarantee that he will repay any loss that Philemon has incurred. That's Philemon, verse 18. Here's what Paul says. Listen, friend. My dear friend Philemon, I know this man took off. If he took anything that didn't belong to him when he left your household, or if he incurred any extra expense for you because he left your household, charge that to my account. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing, the bond of love that exists between Paul and Philemon and Tychicus. It is absolutely amazing. Can't wait to dig into the story in the book of Philemon. And most Christians today don't even know there's a letter by Paul written to Philemon. Just one page. It's like a postcard, really, but it's absolutely amazing. So a comparison of this verse, I'm in Colossians 4 and verse 9, with Philemon verse 1 and verses 8 through 22, makes it clear that Tychicus was also given the responsibility of safely returning Onesimus to Philemon. Once again, the church at Colossae was meeting in his home. That's Philemon and verse 2. So in presenting Onesimus to him, Tychicus would also deliver Paul's letter to Philemon. From the epistle to the Ephesians, it's also clear that Tychicus delivered Paul's letter to the Ephesian church as well. That's Ephesians 6, 21 and 22. This is amazing. A man that most people have never heard of delivered the Colossians and the book of Ephesians and the letter to Philemon so that we have it today in our New Testaments. Fifth and finally, Paul makes it clear that both Tychicus and Onesimus will give a joint report of Paul's affairs. Look at the end of the text. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. They will tell you everything that has taken place here. Imagine the seasoned veteran in the faith, that's Tychicus, and the newly converted Roman slave, that's Onesimus, standing together before the assembled church, bringing them news about the great apostle Paul while he's under house arrest in Rome. It's a picture of God's amazing grace. We are all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if we are Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter if we are male or female. Doesn't matter if we are bond or slave. Doesn't matter if we are rich or poor. We are all one in Christ. And together, I'm sending a seasoned warrior along with a newly converted Roman slave. They're going to stand before the assembled church of Colossae, and they're going to give you a great report of everything that's going on with me. Oh, and by the way, Tychicus is going to give you a great word of encouragement. Back in World War I, the story is told of a chaplain who is holding Sunday services for the troops every Lord's Day. They're out on the battlefield. And the Lord's Day services are going to be held in a tent. And the chaplain knows that he may have a potential problem because he knows that anybody who's born again who needs encouragement, from a buck private to a four-star general, is going to be assembling in the Lord's Day service. So what the chaplain does in World War I, he puts out a sign on the front of the tent. And here's what the sign says. Abandon all rank, ye who enter here. Isn't that amazing? Abandon all rank, all ye who enter here. In the Lord's work, there are no buck privates. There are no four-star generals. There are no seasoned veterans. There are no runaway Roman slaves. We are all one in Christ. And that's the beauty of the text that we're looking at today. They will give you a report of everything you need to know about me. And Tychicus is going to bring this word of encouragement. One of the reasons Paul wanted the Colossians to know about his situation was so that they could be praying for him. While it's true that some Christian workers use their adverse circumstances to enlist financial support, do they ever? This was never, ever true of Paul. He wasn't begging for money or asking for sympathy. He simply wanted his friends in Colossae to know the facts and support him in prayer. And he also wanted Tychicus and Onesimus to be the ones to share those facts. He trusted them. He loved them. He knew he could count on them. Praise his holy name. That's what happened. So, by way of conclusion, the greatest ministry that Tychicus performed for Paul and the entire church was his safe delivery of the letters destined for the Colossians and to Philemon and to the Ephesians. This was a long and perilous journey, some 1,200 miles. But his spirit of devotion for Christ and his unswerving commitment to Paul, in the words of one commentator, transformed an obscure and laborious task into a ministry of abiding spiritual value. And here we are today, some 2,000 years later, benefiting from the hard and laborious task of Tychicus delivering these letters to the churches so that in God's providence, we have them in our New Testaments today. However, Paul not only thought of Tychicus as someone whom he could implicitly trust to deliver his letters, he also knew that his beloved friend and faithful servant had the ability to encourage the church and would therefore be able to further the cause of Christ at Colossae. Wait one minute. Was this man an apostle? No. Was he schooled in a theological seminary? No. Was he raised in a Christian home? Probably not. Did he know every Bible verse that one could ever possibly know? No, of course not. But this man had the right heart attitude and the right devotion and commitment that he wanted to encourage others, however he could possibly do so. And Paul knew that, and that's one of the reasons he sent beloved Tychicus along with Onesimus to the church at Colossae. This man proved himself qualified to carry out both of these important ministries in the work of the Lord. Yes, he did the routine and mundane. No disrespect to our mailman, Jeray, but these men carried the mail faithfully all the way to Colossae, but they did more. They encouraged the saints. Neither he nor Onesimus might be in anyone's spiritual hall of fame today, yes, but that wouldn't have mattered to Paul, not a bit. What impressed him was that they were faithful servants who deeply loved and zealously served the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of people who impressed Paul. Hello, Barnabas, Silas, Luke, Priscilla and Aquila, Trophimus, Epaphroditus, Epaphras, and now Tychicus and Onesimus. These are the kind of people who impressed the Apostle Paul. They are the kind of people that we should seek out and support, and they are also the kind of people that we should seek to be, because everybody can be an encouragement. Amen. And everybody must have encouragement. That includes you, and that includes me, and that means every single one of us. And therein lies the beauty of learning about the ministry of Paul's cherished friends in our beloved apostle's life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we praise you and thank you for the joy once again of looking into the Word of God. And we humbly confess that oftentimes we take so many things for granted. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these reminders that everyone is important. Everyone has a ministry. Everyone can serve. Everyone can encourage, because we all need encouragement. Bless us. And encourage us to that end, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen.